Congratulations to Gisele and Joris. We are just so excited for relationships. If you were just browsing across this morning, you're wondering, hey, what's going on here with the Ottawa Church? Who are these people? One of the things that we do is we celebrate relationships. We celebrate relationships with our Heavenly Father. We celebrate relationships with one another, dating relationships, spending time together, having meals together. We certainly are very thrilled whenever someone gets involved in a relationship that goes to a place where it's more than just friends. And so we're excited about that. Speaking of that, if you're part of our faith community here in Ottawa, this weekend was a historic weekend for us because we had not one, but two weddings in our fellowship. Very excited about that. We had one on Friday night where it was one for the ages, where this church was planted about 25 years ago. And one of the first converts, their child, got married in the congregation. They got baptized a couple years ago. And then that couple got married, and just really exciting to see the future and the foundation that is happening in the congregation. And then yesterday, we had another wedding. So we had Hayden and Brittany, and then we had, of course, Ron and Amantha yesterday. We're very, very thrilled and excited for relationships. And so that's what we sing about. We were joined in worship this morning with disciples from Chicago, disciples from Boston, disciples from Indonesia, people literally from all across the world, where this was just an incredible time, and also from Los Angeles. At the end of the service, we'll have our own disciples here from Ottawa sing a song for us. Actually a French song. So we look forward to that in a great way. So if you're just joining us, we're very excited that you're here, and we trust you're going to be inspired, challenged, perhaps invigorated in your relationship with God. It's only appropriate that we go to our Father in prayer, ultimately thanking him for the relationship that we have with him. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning in this medium that allows us to worship even during a pandemic. And I pray, Father, for those who are with us this morning, and then there's some who's going to be joining us later on as they watch this recording. The Father, you will speak to them in a way that is inspired by you. The Father, that your power will be displayed, that when you use vessels and sometimes weak vessels like myself to be able to inspire and encourage people to draw closer to you. This morning, as we talk about something that I think it's very important, and the idea of us not forgetting, remembering. And I pray, Father, that you will speak through your word, even through your servant. And that, Father, ultimately, your name, your purposes will be lifted up and glorified this morning. As always, we're thankful for the death of Christ because it meant life for us. It's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. 20 years ago yesterday, I was getting ready at about 9 o'clock in the morning, 9 Eastern time. 8 Central Time, because at that time I was living in Chicago. I had just moved to Chicago. My family and I had just moved to Chicago, and 3 weeks earlier, we had gone there to serve in a congregation, the Chicago Church of Christ, and it was a remarkable time. We arrived there. We were serving in the church in Toronto, leading the congregation there, and then went to lead a congregation in Chicago. And then our kids started going to school. It was fantastic. It was great as we landed there August 19th. And as I was getting ready now for our staff meeting, as we normally have on a Tuesday morning, and there are about 60 staff members of the Chicago church at that time. And so my wife and I were getting ready, and I received a phone call at about 9 o'clock in the morning, 8 Central. I received the phone call, and one of the elders there in the church said to me, "Tony, do you see what's happening?" I said, "No, I'm getting ready for staff meeting." He said, "Turn on your television." I said, "Why am I going to watch television now? I'm getting ready to lead our staff meeting." He said, "No, you need to turn on the television." We turn on the television, and a couple minutes later, the second plane flew into the World Trade Center. It was magnificently surreal. It was like an out-of-body experience. It was, is this real? Is this a joke? If it was not the topic, then I would think it someone's pranking. And that event occurred that literally changed the world. There are a lot of times that people say, "Hey, this changed the world," and oftentimes it's for dramatic effect. It changed the way that we travel. It changed the way in our political disposition towards other countries. It changed the way that we think about fighting terrorism. Instead of fighting it on the home front, so to speak, the idea now was to fly to other places and prevent it before it happens. And there are different philosophies that came about. And one of the things that happened on 9/11 in 2001 was a lot of themes, a lot of thoughts were projected. And one of the thoughts and the themes and that was projected was the idea, never forget. And of course, the idea of this phrase was that what happened there, we can never forget a number of things. What caused it, where we are today, how did we get here? But the idea is, this is such a significant thing. Let's not ever forget it. It changed the way that people would get green cards in the U.S. It changed its dynamics and relationship. It changed remarkably for someone in my profession. Because Canada and the U.S. had a very, very close relationship from a vantage point where someone moving here could get a minister's visa easily or vice versa here to the U.S. And so that's the visa that I went on as I was asked to serve in the congregation there. Literally, we went to the border, took us 20 seconds. The guy stamped it, said, "How long do you want to be?" Showed the documentation that my wife and I were serving in a ministry. Literally took a couple of minutes. "How long do you want to stay?" We said, "Well, let's see, 3 years." And then it's renewable. Today, it's a dramatically different process. You see, what happened was, most of the people who were involved in the bombings using the planes were here on the religious visas. And so there was scrutiny that happened on every religious visa. They were now doing on-site tests. They will come to visit. Is this a real organization? Because they had egg on their face. And things changed dramatically. And the idea, we must remember how we were feeling so that we don't forget and it doesn't happen again. Having been there, It was a remarkable time. Of course, we changed the purposes for our staff meeting. It became a prayer vigil. There were thoughts that maybe the Sears Tower in Chicago was going to be next. You see, what happened was a flame flew into the Pentagon. Then another one flew, of course, into the World Trade Center. And then there was a fourth one where the guy called in to the FBI, to 911, and there's a recording of the call. And they relayed that how some people have hijacked the plane. And it's a very touching, actually, if you have a chance, you should read it. It's a very touching recollection as they play the transcript of that call. The person informed the person who was calling that three other planes have already been hijacked, have been flown into the Pentagon and to the World Trade Center. The FBI and CIA said that plane from which the guy called, they thought it was going to be destined either for the White House or the Capitol. Now, there are certain places that are incredibly sacred, and it speaks volumes if something were to be attacked from that vantage point in the U.S. It would have been insane. And so the theme came about that we should never forget. It changed how things happen, how we travel, even my vocation, the way we look at other people. 9/11. I wonder how many of us have forgotten. As a matter of fact, Toronto, being the epicenter of the financial place in Canada, and some thought even Ottawa, they will wonder, are these places also going to be attacked? There was fear and trepidation. What's happening? Prayer vigils. Church attendance was at an all-time high where we were. We were asked never to forget. And so I wanted to use that theme here today to talk about some things that I really believe that have been etched in our minds. And God uses this idea and this concept, by the way, of not forgetting. Of not forgetting a number of things. And so that's what we wanted to talk about here for the next few minutes and see what God says about what we ought to remember, what ought to be indelibly etched in our memories and to never forget. And there are a few things, while not exhaustive this morning, I wanted to use this opportunity to talk about some things that we think from the scriptures is going to help us. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7, and we see here this concept, this idea of never forgetting. And so what happened was, if you remember, God had brought the Israelites out of captivity in Egypt, and he's sending them a lesson, and he's teaching them, and he's talking to them. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, in verse 17, this is what it says. You may say to yourselves, these nations are stronger than we are. How can we drive them out? But do not be afraid of them. Remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all Egypt. You saw with your own eyes the great trials, the signs and the wonders, the mighty hand and outstretched arm with which the Lord your God brought you out. The Lord your God will do the same to all the peoples you now fear. Moreover, the Lord your God will send the hornet among them until even the survivors who hide from you will have perished. And he goes on to say that we should not be terrified. Fear had overcome the Israelites. And it's a remarkable thing because they were in captivity. They were in bondage in Egypt. And they were going to places now that they had spent 400 years away from. They're going back to the land that God had promised them. And these lands were occupied. And these lands had reputation. And one of the overwhelming emotion was that of fear. They wondered, are we ever going to be able to secure this land? Are we ever going to be able to get this, what God has promised? And so one of the things that God reminded them to not forget, remember how mighty God is. Remember what happened to Pharaoh and all Egypt. Remember the power of God when he delivered the Israelites out of Egypt. And one of the things that remembering does, and in this case, remembering the power of God and the power demonstrated in the signs, wonders, and miracles, when God described, it's described that God stretched out his mighty hand so that they will not live and cower in fear. Maybe some of the times when we are living in such deep fear, we've taken our eyes off how powerful our God is. And sometimes we cower and we just fold up in the fetal position because we forget the power of God and how he dealt with the Israelites in the way he rescued them from Egypt. One of the things that never forgetting does when it comes to our relationship with God, it allows us to not cower in fear. That's what God wanted the Israelites to remember. That's what God wanted them to have indelibly etched in their minds. I know for me, whenever I'm overcome with worry and anxiety and fear, most of the time, if not all the time, it's because I have taken my eyes off this powerful, mighty God that we serve. And so the Israelites were asked, don't forget what God did. Continues in chapter 8 in Deuteronomy. God continues to remind them, to talk to them. And he says in verse 2, remember, here's the idea again, remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years, to humble and test you in order to know what is in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord God disciplines you. Another thing that God wanted the Israelites not to forget, to remember. This idea that man does not live on bread alone, but rather that they should keep his commands. To understand the concept that God led them in Israelites for 40 years. This has got to be one of the most understated miracles in all the scriptures. I want you to think about this, right? Their clothes did not wear out. Man, in our day and age, hey, that trend is gone. I am now going to buy some other set of clothes. Because capri pants is not in anymore. Or skorts are not in anymore. Or tank tops. I don't know what I'm talking about here, but you know what I'm saying. The whole idea is that their clothes, they did not get other clothes for 40 years. Now, I want you to think about this. Their children that were there that grew up and spent 40 years in the desert. Their clothes did not wear out. The shoes on their feet. Another translation has that God grew the shoes on their feet. That God was painting a perspective of them not to forget the way that God leads them. When God paints a perspective so that they can take on the right disposition, oftentimes one of my most important jobs as an evangelist and someone who preaches the word, both publicly and privately, is to paint perspective. And that's what God was remembering. He says, I need you to understand what happened there in the desert. When you went hungry, it wasn't because I didn't like you. It's because I wanted to refine your heart. I wanted you to understand what it means to depend on me. And so what happened was manna fell from heaven. Every day, these guys decided that they were going to go out and they were going to get food that literally dropped from heaven. And the rules were they cannot take food and have them as leftovers. That they needed to come every single morning to get this food. On the last day of every week, they needed to take a double portion so that in the Sabbath, they then wouldn't have to go out and get this food. However, if on other days they took more than they ought to have taken, there were maggots that formed in their food. And some people didn't understand this perspective, and God was helping them to understand, you understand what I'm doing? I want you to remember this. So that you understand that we don't survive on the food that we eat. We survive on the word that comes from the Lord. That this is not something because God is punishing you. But God is disciplining us so that we understand we're legitimate children. You know, when I grew up in Guyana, I was born in Guyana, and we didn't have a refrigerator at a period of time in our lives. And so the concept of leftovers was null and void. I didn't understand the concept. The meal that was cooked, all of it would be eaten. There was no place to save them. And so, interestingly, at that time I was living with my grandmother. She had to learn and figure out, how is she going to feed 13 mouths? How much vegetables or chicken or duck or whatever we were cooking that particular day, how much had to be cooked? And because there wasn't much money, oftentimes it was not overcooking, we threw some away. It was actually undercooking and not spending too much. On the cooking, I'm talking the amount. And so this idea of leftovers, man, today we have in our fridge sometimes some food that's in there for a week or even more than a week. And then when it's garbage time, garbage collection time, we take the food out and we put it in the compost and realize, oh my goodness, this has been here 10 days. This has been here 12 days. But the perspective is to not forget that when God leads you, that we to obey his commands. Remarkable. We continue in verse 10. So another thing we ought to remember is that it paints a perspective. The first one is that it allows us to actually not live in fear. The second one, it paints a perspective to understand, to read the times, to understand what is actually happening. In verse 10, we see this idea again of not forgetting. It says, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Now, quite remarkable. This perhaps is one of our greatest sins, is this idea that don't forget when we are eating and when we're living in our places and when we're settled down and on our herds and our flocks, so to speak, and our gold and silver has increased and have multiplied. And sometimes that can be a great curse if we have forgotten where they have come from. Where if our hearts develop pride and self-reliance, and we talk about how great I am at certain things, or how smart I am, and how I figured it out. Look, I've got this insight, and look how I'm able to acquire gold and silver and flocks and herds. I am deeply concerned at how quickly we as a people, and sometimes people of faith, can forget where all this comes from. We live in perhaps the greatest country in the world. I'm not in competition with anyone, but man, it's remarkable. I need water, I turn on the tap. When I used to need water, we needed to, I'm talking drinking water, we needed to walk about 500 yards to go get water and fetch a bucket of water. I need water today. I have so much water. I can water plants as much as I want. Oh, I'll have to pay a couple bucks for it. My house is burning down. I call 911 within 30 seconds, they're there. I'm in trouble. I call the police. I want to store something. I go into my closet. I figure out what clothes to wear, not if to wear clothes. I move the jackets and the shirts. There are tons of shoes. Which one? Which one matches? Does it match? Is that one out of style? Not well or not. It's not working anymore. Or it's broken or it has a hole in it. Very rarely is it the case. Very rarely is the case that we have clothes that we use to that level and that point. And now sometimes I can get ungrateful and say, man, I don't make enough money to buy this or to buy that or my car. The air conditioning is not working. Or my dryer, man, the lint is blocking it up. What? I mean, I have to walk 10 feet to put food, to put clothes in my washer. But do we understand? God says, do you understand where this came from? Have you become proud in your heart and you beat your chest and you raised your fist? Let me tell you what I'm so concerned about. Is this generation and this idea that we live in, that we claim all these things that is ours, that I walk like a king because I'm the son of a king, or I walk like a prince, and this is what I deserve, and this is who I am because I am this and I am that. And I understand there are issues and that we suffer from trauma, and I'm not excusing sin, but this idea that we have become so satisfied from the work of our hands that sometimes we forget our God. You know what I have found? I remember one time we were raising some money for a charity. And so we would go to, on a particular Saturday, we will go to a store that was relatively busy. And so we'll have, of course, permission from the store to stand there. And you know what's remarkable? And you can tell generally people who have a lot of money and people who don't have a lot of money. Most of the people that give and the ones who are most generous were not the wealthy ones. It was actually the ones who you can tell could relate to what we were doing and what we were asking for and for whom we were asking. And because they remembered, they were able then to respond accordingly. I have noticed an evil thing among us, and it's this: the more we acquire, the more we want to keep. And somehow we have bought into this idea that the house that I live in is not good enough. Let me go buy a bigger one and a nicer one and a newer one. And we think, wow, I'm doing well. No, your bank just did well. And we think that when we get a raise, what ought to be lift up is my standard of living. And oftentimes, it's not our standard of giving. Giving to the poor, giving to those who has need, giving to even the church. Oftentimes, people giving to charity or to a church is what's left over. It's a secondary thought. God says, don't forget the Lord. Don't forget when you eat and you're satisfied and you build fine houses and you settle down and your gold and your silver has multiplied, that your heart has not become proud. And we live by the golden rule, that those who have the gold make the rules. That's what God asked us. He says, in humility, we've got to understand. He did this so that our hearts will not become proud. You know what remembering does? It allows us to be humble. And I'm not talking about a false humility. That pays lip service to God, that says, praise God, and our actions reflect nothing about this praise God. I told you that part of my sermon this morning was going to encourage you, inspire you, and maybe even convict you. And the last one I want to talk about for the next few minutes is this idea that what remembering does, it not only helps us in our fear, not only helps us to paint the perspective, but it helps us with our humility. But look what verse 18 in chapter 8 says. It says, but remember the Lord your God. Once again, this idea of remembering. For it is he who gives us the ability to produce wealth. And so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. A lot of people look at that and says, I don't believe in that God of fire and brimstone. You're going to have to take that up with the scriptures from the word out of God's mouth. God says here, we remember what he's done for us. And if we don't, then we then start following the gods of this age, the God of money, the God of wealth, the God of comfort. Then be sure of this. You will be destroyed. Well, we put that in conjunction with 2 Peter, this idea, this last thought is about the idea of being saved physically. He's talking there about being that we will not be physically destroyed. And then he says in 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse 5, there are a few verses here, and I want to read the entire thing, and we'll put these two together, all right? It says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, then they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body. Peter writes and he says, that we don't forget. he encourages and exhorts and the disciples there to add to their faith, goodness and knowledge and self-control and perseverance and godliness and mutual affection and love. And he says to have these things in increasing measure. In other words, to be growing in these aspects in our lives. And he says, when you do that, you're going to be prevented from being ineffective and unproductive of our Lord. A lot of times people think, hey, how do I understand my knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? How come I'm not getting more and more insight? My challenge is to go back and look at this scripture. This is the quote-unquote recipe to understand our God even more. These are the things that ought to be increasing. Our faith, our goodness, our knowledge, our self-control, our perseverance, our godliness, our mutual affection, our love. These are the things. Not how much time we watch Netflix or how many books we read or even how many movies we watch or what sports we play or how physically fit we are or how long our hair is or how big our bank account is or how much education I have and how much and so on and so on and so on. Are those things have some value? Sure they do. If you've listened to any of our sermons, we talk about those kinds of things that says these physical things have some value. But Peter writes and he says, if you don't have these things in increasing measure, that you're not growing in these things, the reason why is because we forgot. And you know what we forgot? That we've been cleansed from our past sins. And when we forget we have been cleansed from our past sins, we may not receive that rich welcome. But if we remember it, then we will receive the rich welcome. These kinds of things confirm our calling and election. And Peter says, I want to remind you things, these things over and over and over again. As long as I live, basically, is what he says. You know, one of my greatest challenges and one of the greatest things that I do is to remind us. Sometimes it's a very popular message, and sometimes some people don't like it. When I talk about the grace and love and mercy of God, man, and forgiveness, it's fired up. When God warns about forgetting. 9/11, we should certainly learn lessons from it. I'm grateful for the people who stand on a wall so that we can have freedom. I'm grateful for the 3,000 people whose lives were given, and we should never forget that. But what God asks us to never forget, it leads us to not living a life of fear, to paint a perspective on what happens, to teach us humility, and ultimately save us not only physically, but spiritually. I'm going to ask you this week to have a time of reflection. Have a time where we impress upon our hearts to never forget. And ultimately, never forget that we have been cleansed from our past sins. Ultimately, that's what the communion is all about. It's a time that we reflect on the most important event in all of history, that which was paid for our sins. It's why we do it every week. I encourage you to do it all the time. If you are just joining us and you want to be part of our faith community, what happens after this online service is over? Disciples get together online and we celebrate the Lord's Supper together to remember that we've been cleansed from our past sins. Because if ever we forget that, then we will be ineffective and unproductive in our knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter writes and he says, I will remind you of these things over and over and over until I die. There are some things in this earth that we should never forget. There's some things written in the scriptures that we should never, ever forget. May God bless us as we never forget the things that he's allowed us and what he's done for us, especially that our sins have been forgiven. If you're not sure if your sins have been forgiven, contact us. Let's talk about it so that we can understand and know and grow in our knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you. We'll see you next week again as we worship our God.